Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in 2 Chronicles chapter 19. This chapter is about course correction and how God always gives us a chance to right our course. That term comes from navigating ships across the ocean when mariners of old navigated by compass, stars, maps, and charts. Ships, like people, drift off course from their destination. Therefore, they need to realign the direction to be back on track again. Starting at the beginning of the chapter, we read in verse 1, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned in safety to his house in Jerusalem. But Jehu, he's a bit of a Jehu, the son of Hanani the seer, went out to meet him and said to the king Jehoshaphat, "Should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? Because of this, wrath has gone out against you from the Lord. Nevertheless, some good is found in you, for you destroyed the Asheroth out of the land, and have set your heart to seek God." Here we read about Jehoshaphat getting course corrected for his alliance with Ahab. Will you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? Alliances were what introduced pagan into Judah in the first place through Solomon's marriage to Pharaoh's daughter. Now, Jehoshaphat has repeated the same mistake. Through Pharaoh's daughter, idolatry was introduced to Israel and eventually brought the nation into ruin. It set an infection that continued to plague the kingdom of Judah for the rest of its existence. Therefore, because good was found in Jehoshaphat, God does not allow him to go into total destruction. And that's good news, because there's plenty of bad in all of us. But since the Holy Spirit was placed in our life, there's a lot of goodness. That's why Paul says, "In my flesh dwells no good thing." But make no mistake, there is good in you. God put it there. It's called his Holy Spirit. You don't get any credit for it, and you don't even own it. But you're the recipient nonetheless. God placed himself within us so that we would know that there's always good in us to redeem us. In fact, in the New Testament book of Ephesians, Paul says the Holy Spirit was deposited into you and I as a down payment of the purchased possession. In other words, he's got us on hold. He's made the initial payment to claim us for himself. And that investment of the Holy Spirit in us is a guarantee that he's going to come back and take the rest of us too. In the same way, God won't let you and I go into total destruction. He'll always continue to warn us about our course of action, and unlike Jehoshaphat, we don't need Hanani the seer to jump out of every bush and gully with a word from God. We've got an internal compass guiding us, warning us, letting us know that we're off track. Proverbs says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but it ends in death." How true that is. If you've ever tried to navigate yourself in an open ocean, in a rowboat, without navigational tools, you might find that you've simply gone in a circle, believing you've been sailing in a straight line. Life is disorienting after all. Therefore, the navigational tools at our disposal are there to keep us on track. And sometimes, like Hanani, God does send people, maybe our parents, our friends, a pastor, or just someone we bump into and we don't know at all, to give us advice that actually comes from God himself. That's why Proverbs says, "Wise people heed the wisdom of others." Well, this leads directly into how Jehoshaphat course corrected himself. Not only did he write his own course, but verse 4 tells us how he did it, by appointing judges who were able to help others course correct as well. He puts the entire nation back on track. In verses 4 through 7, we read, "Jehoshaphat lived at Jerusalem, and he went out again," notice that word, "among the people, from Beersheba to the hill country of Ephraim, and brought them back to the Lord, the God of their fathers. He appointed judges in the land and all the fortified cities of Judah, city by city, and said to the judges, 'Consider what you do, for you judge not for man, but for the Lord. He is with you in giving judgment. Now then, the fear of the Lord be upon you. Be careful what you do, for there is no injustice with the Lord our God, or partiality, or taking bribes.'" If you remember, the judges in the book of Judges were course corrective people. They were prophets with power and a bit of authority. They were reformers turning people back to God. In this case, Jehoshaphat appointed Levites to judge through the land and bring people back to God. So Jehoshaphat doesn't just say, I'm sorry to God. He course corrects. He repents. Lest you think repentance is an outdated Old Testament term, remember that it's used all throughout the New Testament, including when Jesus preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That means to turn around and course correct. And when Peter preached on Pentecost, seeing thousands saved, he says, repent and believe and be baptized. Paul says, it is God's desire that all come to repentance. We can repent of many things, by the way. We could repent of sinful behavior, idolatry, or in the case of religious people, our own self-righteousness, trying to earn our way to God or trying to earn God's approval or acceptance by being good. I hope that over the course of 2 Chronicles, you haven't misunderstood me in any way, that what I'm saying is, if you're a good boy, God loves you, and if you're a bad girl, God hates you. No, in fact, you can't be any more loved than you currently are, and God refuses to love you less. But what you do has consequences, and the Bible's very clear about this. Repentance means to stop trusting in anything other than God, whether it's sin or good works or the false promises of idols, and begin to depend on God in a living and vibrant way that shows complete trust in Him. You see, when you repent, your mind changes, and with it, your action. The word re before pent shows it's a return to something. It's something that must be done again and again and again. And only the grace of God and our relationship of grace with Him makes this possible. I remember seeing a bumper sticker on a car when I was younger. As corny as those bumper stickers normally are, it rang true to me then and stuck with me to this day. God always allows U-turns. And allow them He does, and believe me, I am proof positive of this fact. He did it for Jehoshaphat, and He does it for you and me. He wouldn't have put His Holy Spirit in us if He wasn't that good. You're that precious to Him. He's not waiting for you to be a performing monkey, pleasing Him one second and receiving a beating the next. As you begin to walk with God, you begin to realize that what the Jews called the steadfast love of God is dependable. In other words, it's covenantal. God keeps His covenant even when we break it. And you can bank on that. If we couldn't, none of us would still be here. You will never, ever be completely rejected by God. But you may be disciplined. And Paul says that those who are disciplined are loved by God, and that discipline trains us in righteousness. There may be a little goodness, but of course it's the Holy Spirit, because there is a whole bunch of badness, meaning that for God to overcome us, He need more than some kind of fickle love to have a relationship with us, something akin to an agape kind of love, or an endless, unbounding, eternal love. And in fact, you'll see tomorrow that this steadfast love literally is the theme of that entire chapter. Well, thanks for joining me today for Through the Word. I have thoroughly enjoyed today's episode because it ties together a lot of what we've talked about and clarifies, perhaps, some of the different points that are important to remember at the same time. We'll see you tomorrow on Through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.